this party started.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the Sound Alternative.
This too can be annoying to those with normal hearing.
89.7 KRUI.
That's right, Iowa City. Help is on the way.
Don't fly away.
Tune in to the Grateful Dead Hour here on KRUI every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. to quench your thirst for the Heart of Gold band. Each week, I'll be playing music spanning the 30-plus year legacy of the Grateful Dead, including side projects from the various band members. So don't pass up this opportunity to listen to tasty Grateful Dead jams on your favorite college radio station.
On this edition from the Cheap Seats, Ryan and myself will discuss all of the things fun in small sports, including men's basketball in addition and TV picks. You're listening to From the Cheap Seats.
Let's go.
You are now listening to the most innovative sports talk show the world has to offer. From the Cheap Seats is heard exclusively on 89.7 KRUI. Now here are your hosts, Ryan Wallace and Will Marchneau.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 6 o'clock on a lovely Thursday evening, a brisk Thursday evening.
Yes, brisk, definitely.
I'm alongside Ryan Wallace. I'm Will Marchneau. We'll be taking you along here for the next hour, talking about small sports in the Big Ten and obviously specifically Hawkeye small sports, as well as a little bit of Hawkeye basketball. The women take on the Golden Gophers tonight in approximately an hour, and We'll have some TV picks for you here late in the show. But right now, first and foremost, if you have any questions or comments for us, please feel free to email us at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. That's from the cheap seats, all one word. Our show's not all one word, but our email address is.
Exactly.
fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. Give us your opinion. Give us your questions. We'll answer them on air. And we did not get any emails last week.
Yeah, I don't know that we've ever gotten ones other than from our friends. So please email us. We'd love to definitely listen to those live on air. However, we are having some internet problems here at the studio.
Yeah.
As most of the
so maybe
KRUI
we just got
know.
An email.
Apparently. We no idea. We
apparently,
we wouldn't be able to
know. That wouldn't be the correct statement. We might have. So let's get ahead and dive into some small sports here. First on the list here, the Hawkeyes have finished day one of the Hawkeye Invitational. They finished
both days.
They did.
Yeah, it was this weekend.
Successfully finished both days.
Yeah.
A little past news here. They completed day one of the Hawkeye Invitational with wins by Jacqueline Lee, Hillary Mintz, Kelsey Klakenga, Kayla Berry, and Morel Beelan, as well as Jennifer Barnes. This is women's tennis we're discussing.
Yeah, they kind of ran all over their opponents on that
day. Was
this
at the new tennis facility?
Yes, it was. Okay. Their first outing there, I believe. Unfortunately, I do have to point out that Jennifer Barnes was the only competitor on the weekend to lose her match. So that's unfortunate for her, given that of the 29 matches on the weekend, she was the only one to suffer a defeat, and I apologize.
So she might be getting scrutinized inside the locker room.
She's probably getting some banter from her teammates, yes. Everyone else collecting plenty of wins over the weekend that did take place on the West Campus Tennis and Rec Center against teams Northern Illinois, UNI, and I believe that's it, Iowa State as well.
Iowa State has a tennis program.
I believe so. So congratulations to the women's tennis team as they absolutely steamrolled their competition at the new West Campus Tennis Rec facility this weekend in the Hawkeye Invitational. They will travel to Milwaukee next weekend to face Louisville and Marquette.
All right, so Ryan, I don't know if this is definitely the right way to start off a show, but I think we're gonna have to pose a little challenge amongst ourselves here.
Okay.
We've been I don't necessarily want to say struggling here, but we have been filling up the majority of our time talking about basketball.
Yes, we have,
and that is a large revenue sport
right.
here at the university.
It is somewhat so, hypocritical to our the true nature of the show.
Yeah. So. And we understand that a lot of our listeners loved the originality of our show, Albert being all about small sports, with the little talk about previews here and there the first semester about basketball for 10 to 15 minutes. That's fine. So the new posing would be to let's make it out to a lot more of the small sport events.
Yes, for sure.
So we're going to start doing that.
Yeah.
And we're going to start putting homework in the back seat. And,
oh, no.
And we're going to start going to small sport events.
All right. So, all right. So if we're going to do this, how about I pose a challenge then?
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, we have been having a little self-competition between Will and myself to see who could get out to more events throughout this full calendar year here at the University of Iowa.
Is that an updated list?
This is not an updated list. The list updates with additions of Penn State last night.
Okay,
that's
so
the only addition.
30 to 24.
It is the correct score, yes. But I want to make an addendum. I say that we... it's a controversial call here.
Okay.
Men's basketball, I say we cut it down to a half a point. You get only a half a point for men's basketball. Do we want to keep the women's basketball at a full point?
I think women's goes at a full.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Now, if you have any discrepancies...
Exactly. Please let us know.
Yeah, please feel free to shout us a holler at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. Once again, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com is our email address.
Yeah, and we'd love you guys to join in this competition. If you think you've been to more events than myself or Will, I doubt it. I'd like to see some proof.
Time out. Yeah,
however...
first of all, time out. If you think you can beat us for the remainder of the year, go ahead and start emailing us with the events that you've been to. And if you become, let's say, king or queen of the small sports arena, we will pay for your men's basketball tickets next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty hefty. Whoever heard that, you better be listening.
Yeah. We will pay for season tickets for the men's basketball team next year.
Or women's, they get it for free. So we'll throw that in there as well.
Yeah, we'll throw in a special package.
You get volleyball and wrestling on us.
Yeah. So you get volleyball, wrestling, women's basketball, swimming,
lacrosse, soccer, everything else.
Right. And but we will pay for your men's basketball tickets next season if you can beat us with the remaining events left on the schedule.
Yeah, bring it on, because it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, you're down by 29.
Yeah.
So as we move along here this evening, we'll talk a little bit more about... small sports, and we'll move over to the pool,
yes,
if you will, and we'll talk a little bit about the Iowa men's and women's swimming teams. They were in action on the 19th, which was last Friday, as they hosted Western Illinois and Western wins. The Hawkeye men won 127-75, and the women won 123-56. Now the men evened the record at 5-5, 1-2 in the Big Ten, but the Hawkeye women are 6-5, 0-3 in the Big Ten. Now here's my question:
after that event,
there's some parity here because the men and women in basketball, the records are quite similar, but seemingly the same thing here. The women can't win at home, but the men have a 12-game home winning streak in Carver Hawkeye Arena,
for basketball,
and I believe
yes.
24 out of the last 25. At home,
right.
and the women are struggling to win, as they haven't won a game since December 3rd at home against Samford. So,
yeah,
a nice little parody here, as it's kind of a give or take, half dozen one way, the other half to the other here on these teams, as the men improve to 5-5 and the women improve to 6-5. Let's see. Ohio State, then, is who they took on Saturday?
Yep, Saturday they went into the final match of their regular season, senior day for the swimmers, as they took on the number 15th rank Ohio State Buckeyes. And unfortunately, the Buckeyes kind of took it to the men. That score was 156-82 in favor of Ohio State. And then the women followed that up with their competition against Illinois, and also lost on senior day, something that's never nice. You always want to try and win your games on senior day so you could, walk off in fitting fashion.
Yeah.
So it's always tough to take a loss on senior night. So the women also lost 174 to 126, putting the final record for the men at 5-6, 1-3 in the Big Ten, and the women 6-6, 0-4 in the Big Ten. As always, some tremendous individual performances in each of these in the blowout against Western Illinois, and then both the Big Ten matches. Unfortunately, just can't put it together as a team to get enough points to get up over the hump. The swimmers now are finished up with a regular season, and they're going to move into the postseason. A lot of the Big Ten match, we're going to see Big Ten meets,
okay.
NCAA regionals, et cetera, et cetera. You know, when I look at the schedule, I'm once again, we talk a lot about small sports here, but I'm not claiming to be any kind of expert
on swimming
on very many of these sports on any likes. There are probably listeners out there who know far more than me, so don't think I'm trying to be cocky and think I know everything about everything. But when I look at the schedule,
but he is being cocky,
kind of, yeah. When I look at the schedule, it appears as though this Big Ten postseason will take up just as much, the postseason in general, Big Ten, NCAAs, etc., will take up just as much time as the preseason did. So there's still plenty of swimming to be done, especially for those who have performed well up to this point.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see here how the women here take their game to the next level.
Right. As they've struggled quite mightily against Big Ten.
0-3 in the Big Ten.
0-4 total.
0-4.
So,
yeah. Not surprising there that they finished the year 6-6.
But they're looking forward to a new pool. I think that's the eyes on the prize. You know, everyone's looking
water.
To the future. Yeah, new water. And that's unfortunate.
Because they reuse water. They reuse the same water every year.
Yeah, so.
That water's like 100 years old. It's just
I'm not quite
100,
but it's, yeah.
Mightily. So as you can smell that when you walk through that area in the field house. But moving right along, let's talk about track here. And this is something fairly interesting because Ryan and I seemingly run into these ladies and gentlemen when we are participating in our three times a week fitness center activities.
Yes.
And they're really fast.
Yeah, they're real fast. I'd like to go and jog down there, but that would make me seem even slower compared to them. So we just kind of stay out of their
way. I don't even think we can get in the track.
I think we could, but they'd tell us to go away anyway. So regardless, yes, they're real fast. They jump real high, real far, et cetera. They throw things real far.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah, so let's first talk about men's track. This meet was on the 20th, both for the men's and the women's up in Minneapolis.
Yep.
In the NCAA Indoor Championships at the Jack Johnson Classic.
That's just the Jack Johnson Classic.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay. Moving on. Jack Johnson Classic.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Excuse
it's
me. We qualified one student athlete.
Yeah. Two total, yes.
Yeah. For the men's side, one student athlete for the NCAA Indoor Championships.
Yes.
But Iowa also recorded 14 collegiate best performances on the day by individuals on our track team. So very, very nice day there for the Jack Johnson Classic. Hawkeye senior Adam Hamilton won the weight throw with an NCAA provisional qualifying mark of 64 feet 4 inches. He was one of the three NCAA eligible student athletes at the meet to qualify for the indoor competition. Now, this is interesting. Iowa freshman Paul Chaney Jr., who's also on the football team, highly recruited football player out of Michigan, or excuse me, St. Louis, highly regarded track star, made the covers of many multiple track high school track magazines, set a couple records nationally in high school in St. Louis, won the 60 meters with a time of 6.95 in his collegiate track debut. So blazing speed
by
the young freshman.
That's a trend for the football team at this point is they're deciding, you know, these guys can run and they can play two sports for us. And I think I don't want to say that the football recruiters are doing all the hard work and then the track team's reaping all the benefits. I'm sure the track team is helping out in the recruiting
endeavors. Well, the
track's
got to definitely recruit an athlete like Paul Chaney.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's the football people going forth first, I'm sure the track coaches are all up in the ear like, hey, can he play track too?
Yeah.
Can he play track too?
Because he runs real fast.
Yeah, real fast.
And Anthony Bowman, I'm assuming, is still going off of track as well. He was in the midst of deciding that and played a little bit there on special teams this year as a freshman.
And we may see more in the outdoor during the spring versus the indoor currently. Maybe there are
now
some
Bowman
bodies
might
that
run
need
outdoor
some,
instead
exactly,
of in, there, indoor track.
There might be some bodies that need recouping from the
Paul Chaney
the
might get blown away from the wind because he is 6 foot, 155 pounds.
Yeah.
So might get blown away outdoors, but runs real fast and hard indoors.
Exactly.
So, sophomores Andy Napier and John Hickey also won event titles for Iowa. Napier in the 3,000 meter, and Hickey won the shot put. So the next time the Hawkeye men will be in competition will be at the Gladstein Invitational at Indiana University in Bloomington on the 26th and 27th this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday.
That's right.
So, moving along here, the women, however, University of Iowa senior Peaches Roach.
Yeah.
Sorry, Peaches. Got a little carried away with the S's and got excited because I see how high you jump every day in practice.
Yeah, we see her every day, too, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you necessarily do the high jump.
I believe she does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
I believe she was one of the provisional
qualifiers. Yeah, she did.
Qualifiers.
She won the high jump and she placed first in the 60 meters.
Yep.
So
provisionally qualifying for the high jump, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Winning with a height of 5 feet 10 inches.
Yeah, that would be
that's
almost
jumping
over me, almost not quite, but almost.
Yeah.
Jumping over most the average woman who's out there listening, Peaches Roche can jump over you.
Yeah. And yeah, with a run, with a little bit of a jog to start it off, she will jump over you and clear you.
Yep, clear you.
Yeah.
She won't touch you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
the cleats won't touch you.
She might kick you with the back of her heels,
no,
but
probably
nothing
not
to knock you over.
Nope.
So, she also brought home first place and almost beat Paul Chaney Jr. in the 60-meter dash with a time of 7.66. So,
yeah, real fast.
And then our ungodly athlete of the week from last week, Kaneki Alexander.
Yeah.
She took home first place in the 600 meters for the second week in a row. So she had a time of 1 minute 28 seconds and 74 100ths of a second. So Tiffany Johnson also won the 60-meter hurdles.
Congratulations to all the performers. And once again, 4 champs for both the men and the women each. So 8 total. And then we had 2 provisional qualifiers come out of the Jack Johnson. So overall, fantastic performances from everyone there.
Yeah. So the Hawkeye women will be next in competition at the Carl Health Alliance Invitational in Champaign this Saturday on the 27th. So congratulations once again to the women's and men's track teams as they perform at a very high level, continuing to improve upon last year's results.
Well, shall we just keep it rolling? Keep it moving on?
Yeah, I mean, what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Seeing how it's feeling.
The sun's not rising for like another 12 hours.
All right,
so
I suppose I should get it going then, huh? Let's keep it going with Iowa men's gymnastics. They were in competition over the weekend last Saturday. They traveled up to Ann Arbor, Michigan to take on the Wolverines and were defeated, although mighty performance given by the Hawkeyes, given that the all-around winners, 1, 2, and 3, were all Iowans. So the total scores was Michigan 315.3 to Iowa's 298.85. But like I said, all-around winners was Jonathan Busey with a score of 50.5. In second place was Curtis Kleffman, 48.3. And in third place, Diego Mercado Austin with a score of 41.35. So the top three finishers all go to Iowa. However, we just don't perform well enough in each individual event and as a team to get the win. So like we said, in all these sports that we talked about, whether it be tennis, or whether it be swimming or track, etc., we're having outstanding individual performances from everyone, and we're going to see that. We saw that
We're lacking in a couple areas.
Though. Yes, it's
well,
kind of
three out of the six events we're lacking in. We got dominated in. But...
Right. So, like I said, incredible individual performances. We saw that in cross country.
Yeah, we sure did
in the fall, where the team didn't necessarily perform that well, but the Midwest Athlete of the Year, I believe, went to both Iowans.
Yeah.
So.
Diana Curry and then I can't remember who won.
Yep, so Diana Curry, I think it
Micah
was
Micah Vandeven.
Might have been. But yeah. Regardless, Diana Curry's got a cool name, so that's easy to remember.
Yeah. So it just rolls off the tongue.
The men performed rather admirably, especially to those three finishing at the top. They will open their home season January 27th as they host Illinois Chicago at the UI Fieldhouse. That competition on the 27th, beginning at 2 p.m. I'd definitely like to get out and see some of those matches, given who's coming up next, the women's. We have to definitely see at least one of theirs in respect to them choosing the same theme song as we have chosen this semester.
They have a nice introduction, and it plays a couple times during extended TV timeouts at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yep.
And they look pretty good this year. So we're going to go ahead and get into this women's gymnastic thing as they are ranked 28th in the country right now.
Yep.
Scored a 193.75 for a third place finish Sunday, the 21st, against the number 2 ranked Georgia Bulldogs, number 24 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, and number 30th ranked North Carolina State.
Yeah, fantastic competition for the women's gymnastics team. 28th ranking, which is probably going to drop, but given who they faced, you're not too surprised. We did place above the number 24 Ohio State Buckeyes, so some improvement. And you look at these scores, and not as much despair between the scores.
Right.
You know, we're losing. We're out of second place by a mere point.
Right.
So. A very close battle in all events and especially overall. So,
well, how do you make Ohio State feels losing to us by 0.5?
Yeah, exactly. So it was tough competition. Fantastic performance once again. Performances individually by numerous names.
Yeah, Katie Turcotte tied for second on the vault. And then Kara Poonjuve, 8th, Katie Burke, 14th, Nikki Page, 19th, and Rachel Lacasse, 22nd for vault. Uneven bars, the highest place finisher for Iowa was Allie Zips, or Zipsy. Sorry,
I'm guessing
Allie.
Zipsy.
Yeah, sorry, Allie.
And once again, we've said this all along that we've had the show.
There's a
lot of names out there, and we don't know how to say most of them. So if we're saying it wrong... Please email us.
Or just stop in and punch us in the face and then scream, "This is how you pronounce my name."
Yeah, that's fine too. I don't remember what three something in the Cario Studios in the IMU. Come down, see us if you want to.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find us. There's signs. So, also tied for ninth, I'm sorry, Jennifer Zimbuhadas. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Right. Will and I will not be performing in the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
So I'm
going to
go ahead and lock
bee.
The door now.
So
my comment just a couple seconds ago does not come true because I have a feeling gymnastics can pack a punch. Katie Burke, that's a little bit easier, tied for sixth in the balance beam at this meet. The floor exercise, ninth place, Kara Poonjuve. And then, of course, the all-around winner, Katie Burke and Kara Poonjuve, both tied for third with a score of 39.050. And then Simbu Hudas had ninth place finish for the Hawkeyes. So, once again, Ryan talks about individual performances. Now it's starting to become a theme here as well. with me, as I'm starting to think that for some reason we can't put together a team competition.
Right, and that's important when you look at, like we've said, these competitions where you look at gymnastics, track, even wrestling or swimming and diving, cross country, etc. It can't just be the best athletes on your team that are going to take you to team victories. It's got to be the individuals. It's got to be the people who don't consider to be the best on the team. If you don't think you're the best on the team, you're the person that we need to perform at their best, because the closest races, the things that matter the most are the ones at the bottom. And it, you know, a couple places, if you come up a couple tiers, if you're towards the bottom, that can mean a big jump in points, especially for your team. So once again, we've had some good performances. Let's hope that team-wise, we can bring that around into good team performances and turn the records as a team around.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we sure packed the punch here in this last, I want to say about 45 minutes, 35 minutes when we bring you the better half of the show here. More exciting, because we're actually winning matches.
Exactly.
and beating people. Let's just say this about the first couple of the small sports here we're talking about. This bed that we're playing back here is Tupac Changes, and that needs to happen.
Changes, yes. That would be fantastic, and I'm sure that they're looking forward to some changes. As far as records go, I still say that individually, a lot of people performing really well and probably at the top of their game, and will continue to do so, and will probably garner some very nice awards as the season continues.
Right.
But
right.
As a team, yes, definitely need to see some changes.
Thank you.
Performances. So
maybe a new pool, some new chlorine and water. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to wrestling. A wrestling match that was featured on ESPNU, which is rather huge for wrestling. Wrestling's moving up. For those of you who don't know, the Big Ten, along with making the announcement of the Big Ten Network, just before that, signed an agreement with ESPN ABC to promote more Big Ten sports overall, whether it be on ABC, whether it be on ESPN,
or the
ESPN2,
or the U,
or ESPNU. And for those of you who don't have ESPNU, you need to get it.
I don't know if I'm getting it.
Yeah, we don't want to
keep that on the lowdown.
Yeah, the lowdown. Keep that on the lowdown. We don't want to alert officials about that. But you need to get that, along with CSTV, the company that runs HawkeyeSports.com. They have a TV network. Those two networks combined, you can see just about everything. I was fortunate enough to see the NCAA opening round, where we watched our Hawkeye Lady field hockey players. I got to see that match on television, and as well as seeing a lot of the soccer matches in the NCAAs, all being held on ESPNU, CSTV. Fantastic for those of you who do enjoy small sports. Highly recommend that. So, getting back to the point at hand, ESPNU carried the much-touted match between Oklahoma State and the Iowa Hawkeyes, and unfortunately, the match did lead to the demise of the Hawkeyes, as they lost to Oklahoma State 21-11. Hawkeyes getting wins were Charlie Falk at 125, Alex Grunder at 149, Eric Lutke, who just continues to roll through people.
Yeah.
Last check, he was number two at his weight. I'm not sure where that has changed or where that's gone, but he gets the win at 174. And the heavyweight, Matt Fields, gets another victory. I believe he's also ranked in the top 10. So we're seeing a lot better competition, though. Oklahoma State's a fantastic program. I believe they take on Iowa State either tonight or tomorrow in the very near future. And Iowa State, once again, is a fantastic program in their own right. And that should be a fantastic match as well. So this was last Friday is when this match happened against Oklahoma State. Once again, the Hawkeyes falling 21-11 to the Oklahoma State Sooners.
Yeah, so looking to better themselves, the next day they travel to Rolling Meadows and Rolling Meadows High School to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. Now, I don't know why they don't have their meets in,
I would assume that there was probably a schedule conflict with men or women's basketball or something else. Maybe gymnastics is held there. Regardless, high school gyms are really good environments, I think, for wrestling meets. So I think that would have been a fantastic meet to see live. And kudos to those people who go to the high school, because that's probably pretty neat for them to have the big university come and host their events there.
And have an amazing wrestling program like Iowa.
Yeah, come and visit. Exactly.
Yeah. So the Hawks opened up their Big Ten 2007 Big Ten season with a victory over Northwestern 24-14, which is very impressive. Once again, Eric Luedtke won by decision over Nick Hayes at 174 pounds. So he got another victory. Yep. Just rolling, yep. Continually rolling through people.
Yeah.
Losses was at 184 pounds. Jake Herbert, or Air Bear, for Northwestern, won by default. I know they have a player on their football team with the name of that, so I don't know. It could be him. He could probably weigh in at 184 pounds and play wide receiver on the football team.
It could be.
So at heavyweight, Dustin Fox beat Matt Fields of Iowa. And then, of course, at 197 pounds, Mike Timlow, technical fall over Rick Laurea, 19-4. Northwestern got that victory. So the only three wins of the afternoon for Northwestern were right there. Everybody else garnered victories. Charlie Flack, Mario Galanakis, Alex Trististis, Alex Grunder, Ryan Morningstar, Mark Perry, and of course the rolling machine, Eric Luedtke. So right now, here's the question. We're going to leave the basketball players out of this really quick because, quite frankly, I think we don't pick one of them unless one garners expectation. And we're going to have a discussion later on about a fabulous freshman on the men's team here in a second. But let's discuss a little bit who you think should be the Hawk Athlete of the Week right now.
That's a tough decision.
Spurned this on you because this isn't even in our schedule of events.
The show rundown, exactly. Yeah, I did think about it prior to coming on the show tonight. It's a very difficult decision. I don't think there was a standout like we had last week with Kanicki.
Alexander.
Exactly.
He's, yeah.
I'm leaning towards Peaches, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards Peaches Roach. Fantastic performance, her high jump, and the victory in the 60-meter dash. So I'm probably going to give my Hawk Athlete of the Week to Peaches Roach.
Now, see, that's who I was going to give it to.
All right, a unanimous decision.
Well,
it
could be, but I could play devil's advocate here, and I'll give my second place vote, or my vote, because I'm in agreement with you that Peaches Roach had a phenomenal weekend and did a lot of great things for the Iowa women's track team. I'm going to give mine to Eric Luedtke because he rolls through people, and quite frankly, he's dominant.
Yeah, and the reason I would lean away from him is...
because he's ranked second in the nation?
Yeah, and that's what I expect him to do, is roll through people.
But he's rolling through.
An interesting point that I wanted to bring up, as I want to go back to wrestling for just a minute, is... Tom Brands is bringing an interesting feel to this wrestling program. One note that I forgot to mention against Oklahoma State was in the 184-pound match, we were deducted a team point for unsportsmanlike conduct. I did not get to see that when I was watching it on ESPNU, the portion that I did get to see, and I would be interested to see what that was for. We did get in some trouble when we were rolling through North Carolina State, and who else was on that day?
Co, yes.
We got in some trouble because there were some moves where we were literally picking people up, slamming them to the ground because we were absolutely a brilliant ring, folks.
Yeah, timeout. This is not WWE.
It looked like it. We were totally, it was just like that. So, just incredibly feisty players this year, and I think Tom Brands has gotten the best.
Feisty wrestlers.
Feisty, yes. And it brought me back to the Iowa State match, where, you know, right away, Iowa State's accusing us of things, and we're saying, you know, that's how you wrestle. I don't even know what that
was
about.
You want to play?
Exactly. You know, everybody's pointing fingers, and I would not want to be in the middle of that.
But we're the aggressor.
Exactly.
So we're like the bully.
Exactly. We have definitely been a bully all this year, and I think it's playing to our favor. I have no idea how everyone else throughout the collegiate world feels about this and how we're playing or how we're approaching wrestling right now. But I think that's definitely a trend that we're seeing. Is we're a really feisty program at this point. We're definitely being incredibly aggressive, and I think that's why you're seeing matches turn out the way you are. Whether they're not so close, it's either somebody's winning or somebody's losing, and it's an interesting trend that I think will probably continue. And I'll be interested. I personally, the next match coming up for the the wrestlers is this weekend against Wisconsin. By the way, if anyone wants to help out with a personal cause of mine, you can help me clean up after that, pick up some trash.
Why are you looking at me?
It would help because I think you need to come. I'm going to pin you on air with a little guilt trip after the Wisconsin game. Ryan and some fellow students are going to be...
Basketball?
No, the wrestling.
When is this? Sunday night?
Saturday night. We play Wisconsin. It's a Wisconsin weekend. Saturday night, we have the wrestlers, and then we welcome in the basketball players.
Yeah, you take me out
Sunday.
For dinner. I'll help you clean up.
All right. I think that's a deal.
Okay.
So anyone else out there that wants to help clean up, show up to the wrestling match. And if you're not a student, I'll pay for you to get in. If you help me. So,
he'll be standing outside, probably selling his t-shirts.
Exactly.
For $10.
No, probably not. Yeah, we'll probably just be doing the cleanup. So.
Okay, fine.
Regardless, Saturday night, 7 p.m., the wrestlers take on Wisconsin.
Although, if you would like a post-bar crawl t-shirt, I'm sure Ryan would be willing to sell you one.
It's
for
not even,
a discounted price?
Yes, discounted price if you want. We can get into the details. This student activity that I mentioned is the aforementioned Peru trip, which put me out of the country in late November.
Which put us off the network
exactly,
for two weeks.
Put us off the air for a couple of weeks. So if you are interested in learning more about that, please do email us. The email address, once again, is fromthecheapseats@gmail.com.
Yeah, once again, fromthecheapseats, all one word, @gmail.com.
So, all right, so let's get into it. This is Will and our guilty pleasure. We've always... Yeah. Battled with this decision. You know, we want to talk about basketball. Basketball is definitely our more interesting sport. Unfortunately, we don't want to offend anybody when we're calling their sport a small sport. We don't want to offend anybody. So when we include, I personally think that women's basketball is a shoo-in if we're going to talk about small sports, specifically here at the University of Iowa. That's obviously different if you talk about Tennessee or UConn.
Or Duke now.
Or Duke. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But
North
I think,
Carolina.
Yes. And I hope that eventually our basketball program does reach the likes of those. At this point, they're not. So they're definitely a shoo-in. So like I say, when we get to the basketball portion, especially men's, it's kind of a guilty pleasure of Will and I, as it probably does stray away from the true heart of this show when talking about small sports. We really just want to get to the sport, every sport here at the University of Iowa. We want to make sure that no one's not being counted on. We know that football and basketball get plenty of press coverage, which is why we wanted to divert attention elsewhere. There's no reason why these wrestlers, these swimmers, these gymnastic performers shouldn't be getting just as much airtime for the fabulous things they do for the University of Iowa. So, with that disclaimer, we can now get into the guilty pleasure that is discussion of basketball.
Right. So, Bluter's Bunch had a game, and I'm talking about women's team, and Lisa Bluter is the head coach. They had a home and away series here with Michigan State.
Pretty much.
And Michigan State pretty said blow.
Yeah.
And won both games as they defeated us at the Breslin Center on Sunday, 67-57. And as we were victim, though, 83-63 at home, I would say
two weeks ago,
we were a 20-point victim to them at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, as we cannot get off the schneid of winning a home game in the Big Ten.
Right, and the interesting thing is this was our first road loss in the Big Ten. And incredibly, like we touched on this last week, incredibly interesting story given that the women up to this game were hadn't lost on the road and hadn't won at home in the Big Ten. So
is Vandeventer going for another year of?
I think when we discussed this, Vandeventer going for another year. Wrong girl. There's another girl that you're trying to think of. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but there's another girl that is reapplying. I want to say Solverson.
Yeah, Johanna Solverson.
Solverson is who you're trying to think of. Yes.
Yeah.
Vandeventer did injure. She was injured last year and got another injury at the beginning of this year, and she's back in full force now. I don't know about. Full
okay,
force,
so let's but. Talk about your girl, Chrissy Smith.
All right.
10-point loss. She had 13 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, but 3 turnovers. Now, are you going to continue to defend your girl here in this hot topic of does Iowa need a better floor general and move Chrissy to the 2, or are you going to say Chrissy needs to stay at the 1?
I'm gonna continue to stick with her, just as you have probably stuck with Mike Henderson, who has throughout his career likely had very near the same numbers, given that he definitely struggles being the floor general and having more assists than turnovers. Of late, he's been able to turn that around, but I think he's struggled with the same things, and I don't think you would discount him as a decent floor general.
No, I'm not discounting Chrissy Smith.
Okay.
And I'm not playing devil's advocate, nor am I saying that Christy needs to move positions, because I enjoy Christy's game and I think she's a very talented basketball player. But all I'm saying is that if we brought in another point guard, like the girl who had committed to us and then decommitted and went to Ohio State.
But see, that very interesting discussions, all relevant, but not right now. I think that discussion happens at the end of the season when
we're 11-9, 3-4 in the Big Ten.
I understand. Who do you want to put at the point then? If it's not Christy Smith right now, who do you want to?
Not right now.
If you want to change things, I'm talking about the here and now.
Okay, fine.
The here and now.
I don't
want to
change
anything, can we?
No, we can't.
Okay, we can't do anything.
We can put Zori Kuhi in. Oh wait, she's academically ineligible.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. So I think this discussion resumes.
In the fall. Okay.
We can resume this discussion in the fall when we start looking at women's basketball recruiting for the upcoming season.
How about our girl Megan Scobie? Read her line off to us.
Yeah, I'm not.
Against Michigan State. Go ahead and read it off.
Yeah, I'm going to read it straight across. We got 2-for-8 from the field. She was 4-for-4 from the line, though. That's good. Like to see that. However, 2 defensive, 2 offensive rebounds for a total of 4 rebounds.
So you're going to tell me Christy Smith, who stands in at about 5'7", out-rebounds a 6'6 girl?
Yeah. Yeah, she got 7 on the defensive side. So for a total of 7 rebounds, that's completely true. Unfortunately, Janae Graham only had 6 this game. So Janae Graham actually being out-rebounded in this game. So yes, once again, I'm going to pin it on Scobie. I think there needs to be better performance out of her. Obviously, we need better performance out of everyone, given that on the day we had 12 assists and 19 turnovers. I think the turnovers have been something that has really, really killed this team as they have gone along. Everything else looks, okay,
well,
as long as you look at stats.
Well, no, I think it's something that's similar to men's basketball is we're having a tough time finding a third score, and I don't see how Wendy Ozdenmore can go from having such a great freshman year, and she really has hit a sophomore slump. She's a girl who hasn't been hitting her shots at all. 2-for-11, 2-for-5
and
from 3-point range.
She's a really interesting story because I think she also struggles. What I really liked about her was her aggressiveness with the ball. The games that I've been able to see before conference play,
right,
and her aggressiveness taking it to the hole, I think that's begun to backfire as we've seen some better defensive teams in the Big Ten. And you look at her, and she has 4 assists to 6 turnovers. I believe she's probably leading the team in turnovers right now.
Probably,
and I think that has a lot to do with
but
her aggressiveness.
You get a turnover, right? You get a turnover when you get a charge on you.
Exactly.
Too.
So I think a lot of that has to do with her aggressiveness on the offensive side. 2-for-11. That probably needs to improve quite a bit because I do look to her. I think Scobie should be our leading scorer with better than 13, 14 points a game. If she was doing everything I wanted her to do, she'd be getting close to 18 a game. I think Vannevenor and Ozdemore should be the next two in line with points on this squad. So it's a real perplexing situation. It's tough given that a real short bench.
Right.
Really tough to work with that few players. Given that it's tough, though, because I do like all these girls. I really like Lindsay Nienhuis. I think she's got a fantastic shot, but she hasn't been able to prove that. She's getting about 10, 15 minutes a game, which is interesting in its own right. So I don't know. It's a really perplexing situation that's going on with this women's basketball team. For some reason, they don't like to play in Carver and Ted games. And hopefully we're going to see that turn around here tonight as they take on Minnesota
in a matter of
17. Well, I assume tip-offs are probably 7:05.
7:05 is tip.
So 20 minutes, more or less, from now. Hopefully the women's basketball program is going to... And I believe that would be a sweep on Minnesota over the season.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be a sweep on Minnesota. It will give us our first home win since December 3rd against Samford. And I really think if we play well together tonight, then we enter that nice stretch here at the end of the Big Ten season where we can put together a couple victories here, maybe steal a couple games at home.
Yep.
That sounds odd enough, stealing games at home. But as far as I'm concerned, that's what's going to have to come down to here at the end of the year. And then maybe go into the Big Ten tournament, which is at Indianapolis this year, on a high note.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing that we got to look at is... Now, I lost track of my thought.
Yeah.
You done it. You done it. And you, it's gone now. It left the building. So
that's okay.
Whatever.
Because I'm sure it was irrelevant anyway.
No, it wasn't. It was going to be a fantastic point. And I forgot it.
All right.
Darn it.
Moving along to the infamous week that was last week for Iowa men's basketball.
And it's going to be another infamous week, I think, coming up. So.
Actually, I don't think it's going to be that bad. So
infamous can be one way or the other.
Let's get through this game, and then we'll discuss last night's victory over Penn State. First off, we lost to Indiana at Indiana last week, and we discussed that on last week's show. So now we're going to move ahead to Sunday's contest against the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Greg Oden dominated us.
Yeah, that was a Saturday, and Greg Oden dominate us. He had a career-high 29 points, 12 for 13 on the field. I don't remember how many dunks those were. I believe there were nine dunks.
Nine or ten. Yeah.
So, and he stole the show from Tyler Smith, who loves to perform incredibly well late, which is exactly
now he scored 21 second-half points.
Yeah, yeah. And
to
that's
score 21 on the game, though.
Yes, but that's what he does. He loves to
say... He says, hey, you like that? Strap on, and like you're all in a backpack. Fit in a backpack and get on my back.
Yeah, and I'll take you along for the ride. That's what Tyler Smith loves to say.
I'll take you along for the ride.
Yes, so Tyler Smith loves to perform well in the late-minute situations, especially in games where it's close, and he's like, no, it's not close anymore. I'm going to run away with this now. And in this game
He has a different type of athletic ability.
Exactly. And I think Greg Oden did the same thing. In the late minutes of this game, just started pouring on the points and more dunks as Iowa was defeated by number 7, Ohio State, 82-63 last Saturday. Let's not lie. Most people did not think Iowa would, could, or should win this game.
Probably not.
And you and I have said this multiple times on both the Power Hour show and our show last week that we don't exactly match up well with Ohio State in
not
any
at all.
Regards.
Not at all. Not like we did last year when we beat them in the
exactly.
Big Ten tournament and we played them very well during the
season. We matched up very well against them last year.
I'm going to say this, though. On a different note, we were down 4 throughout a 5-minute span in the second half, and then the endurance kicked in.
Exactly. With about 15 minutes to go, we were within 4 points, and then all of a sudden, Ohio State turned on, put it into another gear and took off on us, and that was unfortunate. And what was disappointing was we didn't fight back the same way I thought, personally. We didn't fight back the same way that we had seen against Indiana and Illinois and other games previously.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. We got into foul trouble down low, so we had to force Cyrus Tate, 6'8", to play Greg Oden, who's 7'1". And then we go to zone, and Oden says, give me all the dunks, because I'm the dunk master.
For those of you who didn't watch this game, 29 points, and you want to say that he dominated us. He didn't necessarily
he had a lot of
dominate
dunks.
Yes, he did not dominate our players. He dominated our schemes. Ohio State's a very good 3-point shooting team, and we had to defend that. And when it came to
so we played zoned.
Right. And when we did, and we did a good job of manning up against their 3-point shots. I mean, and they're good. They're going to get their threes in a game. But when the shots didn't hit, who was there to get the rebounds? Greg Oden, and he had multiple putback dunks. So, it's not that he dominated against Cyrus Tate or Seth Gorney for
now,
all you Seth Gorney haters out there.
Because
Seth Gorney played fantastic
until
he had
his
to
notes.
Leave the game. Yes.
Yeah.
So, he dominated our team, I think, I just want to say, more than our players, getting a lot of things that just kind of fell in his lap. So, let's put that in the past, as I believe everyone in Hawkeye Nation, and especially the team, has as they moved on to the Wednesday night matchup against the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Yeah. Now, coming into that game, the Hawks had won 11 in a row at home in Carver Hawkeye Arena, and they took it to the Nittany Lions in the second half.
Right. That was a really ugly first
half. Rugged, yeah. Rugged first half.
You looked, it took us, I believe, something like
five minutes to score.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
But they had only scored 3 points.
Yeah. Really, really low scoring first half. And then all of a sudden, Iowa comes out in the second half, and it's like, we're going to put up 51. And once again, likely because of the second half play of Tyler Smith saying, Strap on, get in the backpack, you're going for a ride.
Yeah.
And I'm going to carry
you. Whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
And here's something that I want to point out. And this might be a little negative reinforcement here, but my favorite player, and that's very sarcastic, Adam Hluska, when he's on a fast break and Gorney's sitting down low or Luvy's sitting down low, he doesn't pass a ball. Yeah. Pass the ball.
Yeah.
Get rid of the rock like Tyler Smith does. Everyone likes to see dunks. None of these extended layup, full extension layups for and one plays or go to the line for two shots.
Right.
Dish it off. Get the dunk. Get the crowd into it. Because Hluska plays to the crowd.
Yeah.
He looks at us and tries to get us pumped up. So then play to the crowd and let's see some showtime and some flair and some pizzazz and some rah-rah. Let's go.
Right. And I've done my best to keep you in check and to try and play devil's advocate with all of your
antics.
With all of your antics, if you will, yes. And
because he is the leading scorer in the Big Ten.
He is. I believe he probably extended that with his 24 that night. Tyler Smith added 19. We'll get to a pretty huge addition with Mike Henderson, but let's get back to Adam Hluska for just another minute. And I think it's important that most of Hawkeye Nation isn't as critical of Adam Hluska as they probably should be. Most people aren't picking out the fact that it's a two-on-one and he wants to take it up. And he forces a lot of pretty bad shots, actually. He's taking far more shots than he needs to. You know, Tyler Smith is taking far less shots and getting... You look at a ratio of shots to points, and Tyler Smith is far better than that of Adam Hluska. So...
Now,
I think there are a lot of things that Adam could improve upon greatly as the season continues. I do like it when he gives up the three for a drive to the hole.
Right.
However, it's not good enough that he just drives it to the hole, I guess. We're super critical, and if there's someone to dump it off to, you need to dump it off.
Well, we're talking about a guy who's in the Naismith candidates.
Yeah, exactly.
At the beginning of the year.
But
he's supposed to be a complete basketball player.
Exactly, and when we look at complete, his assist line is horrible. Not that anyone on the teams is very good. Tony Freeman coming off the bench leads this team in assists, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
And I look at someone like Tyler Smith, who if he hangs around long enough, is going to be getting triple-doubles, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He's going to be getting 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 points on some nights. And I think that's something he looks for. He gets real upset with himself if there's a fast break opportunity, Tyler Smith does, if he misses a pass to a wide-open Luby who could be getting dunked, as did happen at the Penn State game.
Right.
Tyler Smith visibly frustrated after that he didn't complete that pass. So, yes, a lot of this criticism of Adam Hluska, I think, is rightfully so, given that he could do so much more for this team than score 24 points a night.
Right.
If he's getting assists, then that may help lead to a third scorer who... you and I have agreed, should probably be Mike Henderson.
Yeah, and the senior really showed up last night against Penn State, scored 12 points, handed out about four assists.
Somewhere in the region. I think he had three.
And
to
had
only
couple,
one,
right.
Three assists
three
to
assists
only
to
one turnover. And the one turnover is huge. Not that 3-1 is obviously
it wasn't a carry
three,
either.
Exactly. A 3-3 assist to one turnover, obviously a 3-1 ratio. You really don't count that given such low numbers. You'd like to see his numbers a little high. But I think the reduction in turnovers is huge because he is prone to turnovers. Will and I have said this numerous occasions. He's almost always good for a double dribble or a carry on every single game, and we didn't see that in this game. He was played much more composure. He drove to the basket when he needed to, but he also hit a lot of pull-up jumpers, which is almost a new addition to his game. He really hasn't been able to do that in the past.
Right.
I look to him to be the third scorer, and then additions from people like Luby, who got six on the night, I believe. And then you look at Justin Johnson hitting three threes and scoring 9 points. Those are huge additions that we're going to need every night for them. Justin Johnson needs to be averaging somewhere between the 8 and 9 region, not 4 to 5. And Luby needs to be... Luby probably is okay at the 4 to 5 region, but he needs to have games like tonight where he's aggressive with the
last
ball. Last night, where he looks at the ball, where he looks to the hoop, and it. And for a while, it was ironic that Luby was the only aggressor on our team.
Right. So, no, we're gonna switch gears here and shift it here and talk about the backpack carry man. Tyler Smith, and you'll hear a lot more discussion about this tomorrow from the Campus Hoops Insider.
Exactly.
Yeah, where Ryan and I will give our 2 minutes worth in a segment there. But we're going to talk a little bit here about Tyler Smith, and do you think he is someone that could be freshman of the year in the Big Ten, even with the likes of Greg Oden? Are they going toe-to-toe right now in the Big Ten for that race?
Yes, as you and I have discussed on numerous occasions up to this point, that I believe it is Tyler Smith. I think Tyler Smith is out in front, in my opinion. However, I don't think the media overall, as well as the country, will agree with that.
I don't think they recognize it either.
Exactly. I think all eyes are on Greg Oden, and unless someone else absolutely glistens and shines and glitters and takes all the ESPN time,
well, they
which
have to
Greg
be winning.
Oden is hogging at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that Greg Oden's going to stand alone at this.
Does Greg Oden get newcomer of the year as well?
I don't think so.
Or does maybe Tyler get newcomer of the year?
It's going to be really interesting. I think as the Big Ten season progresses, I think this is something we should check in on every once in a while, especially given that numbers are going to change. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Oden doesn't lead freshmen in scoring.
No, Tyler Smith does. Thank you.
So I think that's something that's really important to see. However, Greg Oden, I believe, likely leads the entire league in blocks and possibly rebounds. So it's a tough competition that I think at this point Tyler Smith is not being considered for as much as he should be.
Well,
that's my only beef at this point. Is Greg Oden is probably deserving, without a doubt, he's having a good season and is probably deserving of freshman of the year. But there's no reason you can't look at Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith has to be looked at.
Right, and someone that a certain stat that maybe was holding Greg Oden down was the fact that his offensive game wasn't as polished or whatnot.
Right.
But last night he had 17-17 against the Northwestern squad.
Got it.
And probably, they only won by 9 points.
Exactly.
So they needed all of his points.
Yeah, I think he was primary in that victory, as they struggled against Northwestern as a team, but I think he pulled them through that. So.
And you know what? A lot of his stuff are dunks, but I think at this level, he doesn't have to do anything else.
Yeah, you don't have to prove anything, as Greg Oden to me. So,
yeah, so anyways, we'll move along here. The Tyler Smith freshman of the year or newcomer of the year discussions.
Yes, continuing.
We'll continue.
Ongoing.
Possibly an honorable mention, All Big Ten selection maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely a freshman Big Ten.
All Big Ten,
All Big Ten
without
selection.
A doubt.
Without a doubt, because he's one of the few freshmen that making a significant impact across the league, as well as Mike Conley at Ohio State. But we'll move right along here. We'll give you a schedule overview before we get into our TV picks here with about 5 minutes to go on From the Cheap Seats. Friday, January 26th. Well, tonight, in about roughly, say about 15 minutes, the women tip off against the Minnesota Golden Gophers here at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. $7 for adults or non-students. And then, of course, children and University of Iowa students get in for free. That game tips off at 7:05 at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Once again, Iowa takes on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in an exciting game of women's basketball. Friday on January 26th, the wrestling team goes to West Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. That meet starts at 6 p.m. The men's track team is at the Gladstone Invite in Bloomington, Indiana, and the women's track team is at the Carl Health Alliance Classic in Champaign, Illinois. Saturday, women's tennis is in Milwaukee taking on Louisville at 10 a.m. Men's gymnastics is taking on UIC, Illinois Chicago at 2 p.m. here.
At
the field house,
yep.
Right? And then women's gymnastics is in Illinois taking on the Fighting Illini in Champaign. That meet starts at 7. Wrestling is at home then. Taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. Anyone who would like to help Ryan pick up trash around Carver-Hawkeye Arena, he will pay for your dinner and drinks after.
I don't know about drinks. We might throw in dinner, but not drinks.
Anything off the dollar menu.
Exactly.
But that's a joke. He won't pay for your dinner, just mine. and then the men's track team will be, again, running circles in the Gladstone Invite in Bloomington, Indiana. That's all Saturday, the 27th. Sunday, Sunday the 28th, women's tennis is taking on Marquette in Milwaukee at 10 a.m. Now, women's basketball team is in State College, Pennsylvania to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. That tips off at 12:05, and that Penn State team is a tough opponent. Women's basketball has always been a staple there at Penn State University. Men's basketball takes on Wisconsin in the Gold Rush game at Carver Hawke Arena. No more tickets available. 12:05 tip off. It's a sellout game.
Yeah, please,
Iowa versus Wisconsin.
Please wear gold, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot stress that enough. If you're not wearing gold, I will
personally boo you.
Yeah, you'll probably hear me yell at you. There will be gold available, I believe, as was last year. Gold t-shirts available for purchase at the game. But please wear gold. This is a huge game.
Save
nationally
money.
Televised on CBS. Would be a huge recognition if we could pull a masterful upset.
Okay. That was a nice little rant.
Thank you.
Men's tennis, Northern Illinois, 1:30 p.m. Here at the new tennis facility. That's all Sunday, if you could keep track of everything we said after Ryan's rant. And then, of course, Wednesday, the men's basketball team takes on Michigan in Ann Arbor. Tip-offs at 7:05. All right, what's your TV picks here for this week?
Well, I would love to continue our Grey's Anatomy discussion to wrap up the show.
Well, that's been gone for about a month and a half.
Yeah, we started doing that last semester, and then all of a sudden, as I've said before, Will has turned into
this. Oh, and you did not watch a couple episodes?
But I caught up, ladies.
Yeah,
I've caught up. I'll be watching tonight.
Right.
Will obviously won't, but
I'll be at the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
Instead, you'll be at home being a little ninny.
Yes.
Doing homework.
You're stealing my word with ninny now.
Yeah.
Regardless, Grey's Anatomy is my pick, along with, as I've said all semester long, Studio 60, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic show. Our boy from Stomp the Yard. A fine performance every week in Studio 60.
Neo, whatever.
No, that's not Neo.
No, it's
not. His name's like Chris...
Okay, whatever.
Smith or something.
Yeah, Chris Smith. You just throw out a random name.
Like it's something like, I believe it's Smith,
okay.
To be honest.
Well, if you can bring documentation of that, that'd be fantastic.
Can't.
All right.
Someone else can email us, because somebody needs to email us.
Yeah, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com is our email. Things are getting out of control here in the last 5 minutes of the show. My TV pick for this week would have to be CBS 12:05 Sunday, as the Hawkeyes take on the Wisconsin Badgers. And so that's a Gold Rush game, and the Iowa Hawkeyes taking on the Wisconsin Badgers at 12:05. That airs on CBS. If you don't get CBS, get to a bar that does carry the game.
Everybody gets CBS. It's not, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the beef that we've had with here, yes, in town with K-Jan out of Cedar Rapids. It's not that beef. It's CBS. It's going to be Bill Nance and the like. So don't worry about it. If you're afraid, because you're a Mediacom subscriber, you'll get the game.
All right.
I think that's it for us.
Okay. And final thought, always listen to any sports show that is on here at KRUI, but definitely tune in next Thursday as Ryan and myself, Will Marchionneau, will be back in the studio at 6 o'clock, primed and ready to talk about small sports. This is From the Cheap Seats, only heard on 89.7 KRUI.
Tired of the war on oil? Velocipede is Iowa City's first volunteer